is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the Indo-Pacific and the contest between the People's Republic of China and everyone else, including allies of the United States, Japan, and now the Philippines. George Friedman joins, the chairman and founder of Geopolitical Futures. George, your most recent piece highlights the visit of the new president of the Philippines to Washington. At the same time, you mention Japan and the Philippines are having friendly conversations. This is meant to, in some fashion, present to China a quandary. How so? What does the Philippines, in conjunction with Japan and the United States, mean to the Chinese aggression? Good evening to you.
Good evening. For China, the fundamental issue is access to the Pacific. They are an exporting power, an importing power, and they must have access to that ocean to reach the United States, to reach any other country in the world. At the same time, they want to take Taiwan, threaten other countries. Well, what the United States has done is formed a set of relationships, including basing U.S. forces, where they basically squeezed off access to the Pacific unless the United States permits it. And this has put China in a very different position than it's been in forever.
The Chinese approach over these last years has been gradually to make aggressive moves in different directions. The militarizing of the islands of the South China Sea, was that adequate to provide access to the Pacific?
It was, particularly because the United States, whose navy was more substantial, never, you know, tried to stop them. So remember, the Chinese made many gestures, no actions. So having seen that very few actions were taken, there was no confrontation militarily between the United States and China. Now it's still no confrontations, but that has to do with the fact that the Americans have such a powerful position.
The aggression towards Taiwan, it's rhetorical, and there are these provocations, flybys, ships sailing by. However, if they go on and then they rinse and repeat and then they go on again. In the event of an actual attack on Taiwan, you have made it very clear over quite some time, George, that China would then lose access not only to the Pacific, but to everything. The blockade would be on and China's economy would be strangled.
Well, the blockade is not on yet, but strangulation looks like it's there. Look, the Chinese have bluffed a beautiful game. They have bluffed that they have the ability to conduct an amphibious attack on Taiwan. Those are the hardest attacks at all, and the amount of time they're at sea is going to be threatened by the United States. So the reason the Chinese have not yet carried out that threat is because they can't do it.
What does it mean to Japan? Recently, the Prime Minister has made it very clear that they're remilitarizing and looking again at growing their forces. Why is Japan threatened by China's bluffing?
Well, the thing about China's bluffing and that big problem for China is that people don't know whether to take it seriously or not. I can make the case that it's not a serious threat, but the Prime Minister of Japan doesn't have the luxury of guessing. So given China's strength, given the fact that the United States is inherently unpredictable because it's an independent country, Japan decided that it had to build its own military force, particularly a naval force. And just recently, they have made an agreement with Taiwan that an attack on Taiwan is an attack on Japan. They're also talking to the Koreans, which means that the northern access to China is being shut off by the Japanese and, of course, by the United States.
All right, let's put together Team USA, Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Australia. That's enough. And then we swing around to India, which is somewhere in the middle, but certainly with regard to the Quad is on the U.S. side. Is China contained, George?
China has been contained for a long time. It just appeared not to be. What this is nails it shut. And by the way, today the Indians issued an intent not to be trading as much with the Chinese, which was very important to them. So in terms of economics, their economy is very weak relative to what it was before. And this entire line, almost from the Aleutians to Australia, is now containing hostile powers with substantial navies.
Then what is to be done? You suggest in your most recent article that China is going to switch back on to the charm offensive. That heretofore has been successful, the peace talk in the Middle East, peace talk in Ukraine. Can they sustain it, George? Do they believe it?
Well, I mean, talking peacefully and carrying a big stick has been a tradition. What the Chinese have been doing is carrying a small stick and talking loudly. And that's what's created this entire structure. So where they are right now is that they're blocked from the Pacific in the south. Their U.S. base is now going into the Philippines, which is the most vulnerable area. We're going to Papua New Guinea. All that line is now occupied by either U.S. allies or U.S. ships. So now the Chinese are going to be just changing their talk. And already there's a guy who was called the head of the Wolf Warriors, the foreign policy people who are the most aggressive. He was fired today from that job and given another job running, drawing borders. And he also issued a statement, which he didn't write it, which basically saying that China has made a strategic mistake in how it's treated Taiwan and it should be reconsidered. So the Chinese understand what's happened here. They're not quite sure who to blame, but they'll find somebody. He's going to be one of them. And they're trying to, they're honest. They're going to have to restructure what they're doing.
Does this have any indication about China's policy in Europe, especially wanting to maintain trade with Europe at the same time being allied with the aggressor, Russia? Does that change now as well?
Everything has to change. The security that China thought it had isn't there. Its main paid trading partner is the United States still. Its main investor is the United States, and the Chinese just issued a statement wanting more U.S. investment there. So they're certainly going to deal with the Europeans. But as to the Russians, when you look at the Russian front, there's not much there to ally with. So what's happening here in the world is Russia's kind of fragmenting in their war. The Chinese are being backed into a corner and trying to find a way out. We're in a position to transition away from that period when we were afraid of these people.
The history books say, George, that strong states that are weakened, that doesn't translate into them backing down. They can become more aggressive because they think the future is going to even be worse. I'm looking at Wilhelmine Germany, for example, before the First War. I'm looking at the perception of Germany in the Second War, that it was surrounded, that it had to make an alliance, which it did with Russia. China, if it's weak, does that make it more disposed towards a violent solution?
No, because he really doesn't have the ability to challenge. Remember, those states that tried this and lost ended up in catastrophe. But you have to look at the map to see that this line, essentially from near the Aleutians all the way down to Australia, is now consisting of hostile nations with major naval forces and air forces being based on them. So it's one thing to say that, relatively big power can be attacked. The Chinese are way too smart to check this.
George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I highly recommend.